It is time for worship and wellness, friends. The best way to start your day. Stay happy and healthy till day's end. It's called the Refreshing Way. Start your day the Refreshing Way. There's quiz time with questions and testimonies. Always a time for prayer. It's your worship and wellness broadcast. Start your day, enjoy day, the Refreshing Way.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to worship. It is the preparation day. We're so happy to spend time with God on his holy Sabbath day. Oh, how we need him. We need him very much. Friend, let's pray together and study together and spend time with God together and also alone. It's time for our opening prayer. My wife, Andrinda, will take us to the throne of grace at this time.
Father in heaven, we thank you for giving us this time to come together to be able to open up your word. We thank you for your loving watch care throughout the night. And now we ask for your spirit to teach us the things we need to know as you anoint the words for our pastor and fill him with your spirit. As always, we pray to grow in grace and wisdom. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen.
Amen. Our opening song is It's About Time for the Coming of Christ.
It's about time for the coming of Christ, your King. It's about time, oh Christian. It's about
into our worship thought this morning, my brothers and sisters. We're talking about seven scriptures that tell us about the dark ages. Seven scriptures that tell us about the dark ages. Let's pray. Father, bless us as we study these scriptures and help us that we will see how important it was for you to let us know about Rome, the Roman Catholic Church, and the role it would play. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, my brothers and sisters, we're going first to Daniel 7:25. Now, what I want to say to you is this, that seven is very important to God. It's a word, it's a number of completion. You have 7 days of the week, the seventh day Sabbath, the day that God created the world, and he ended his work and rested with seven. He wanted seven feasts so that the Jewish people would remember Christ to come and the work he would do in the future. There are seven trumpets, seven seals, seven last plagues. So the fact that God would give us seven times the time period of the Dark Ages, it should let us know that it's very important to God that we understand this time period. So as we go to Daniel 7, now Daniel 7, verse 25, talks about the little horn, which is the Roman Catholic Church that came out of the terrible beast in Daniel 7. Remember the beast that had 10 horns and three of whom were plucked up by the roots, and a little horn came up in their place. We learned that this was the Heruli, Vandals, and Ostrogoths, I believe. They were of the 10 Germanic tribes. They were annihilated because they resisted the power and the rise of Roman Catholicism. The others became the great nations of Europe for the most part. Franks became France, the Anglo-Saxons became England, so on and so forth. And that little horn would do some things. And what it says in verse 25, it says, he shall speak great words against the Most High. Now, those great words are blasphemy, to speak great words against the Most High. And the Bible says that in many other verses. But blasphemy is defined in the Bible. It is defined as in Mark 2, verse 7, I believe. It says that blasphemy is when a mere man claims to have power on earth to forgive sins. The Pope claims that power. In, I believe it's John 10:33, it is also blasphemy when a mere man claims to be God. The Pope claims to be God on earth. So he speaks great words against the Most High. And it says, and would wear out the saints of the Most High. The 1,260 years, for the most part, was a period of papal supremacy and persecution for those who studied the simple word of God. God would not bless an entity, my friends, that would do that to his people. And God would allow it. It's very interesting. It would speak phrases like he, and they were given into his hand. God allowed it because he knows what will honor his name. And sometimes in the fierceness of Satan's wrath, God allows some things to happen to his people in periods of persecution. So what it is, friends, is in times prior to that, we need to be getting closer to God. We need to spend more time with him. We need to dwell on him, talk to him, stay and study his word that we might be prepared for those times. It says, and think to change times and laws, Daniel 7:25, and they shall be given into his hand. See, the devil can't take them. They were allowed by God, given into his hand until a time, end times, and the dividing of time. Friends, a time was 360 days in the Bible, so times would be that twice. That would be 720 in the Bible. And then you had the dividing of time, which is half of a time, which is 180. So if you add them together, that's 1,260 days. Numbers 14, 34, and Ezekiel 4, 1 through 6, let us know that one day is accounted by God as a year when he gives us a time prophecy. So when God gave us a time prophecy, then you were to calculate one day as 1 year when it talks about end time prophecy. Okay? All right. So this is the first scripture. This is talking about the Roman Catholic Church and the entity that tried to change the Sabbath. It didn't change the Sabbath. It just thought to, because we're still keeping it. They wanted to annihilate it, and therefore a coming attempt to annihilate the keeping of the Sabbath will be in the last days, according to Bible prophecy. So because God gave us this prophecy seven times, you have authenticity that his prophecies do come true. And we're headed for a terrible time, friends. But it's actually a glorious time and a terrible time. Many souls will be, coming to the Lord. And at the same time, many persecutions and martyrs and martyrdom will take place. Let's be faithful, and God will be honored, and that's what we want. We can't say we'll all be alive and we'll never taste death. We can say that we will be alive because there's a special resurrection when Jesus comes in that sense. But good things happen. Bad things can happen to good people because the devil's in the world. But God is still honored if they were connected to him. Now we just move over to Daniel chapter 12 and verse 7. So two of these of the seven are in Daniel. Daniel 12, verse 7. And in Daniel 12 and verse 7, the Bible says, "And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time, times, and a half." Okay? "And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people," that persecution I just told you about, "all these things shall be finished." Now, if we start at the beginning of that chapter, it says, "And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall come a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt." That's the special resurrection that comes prior to the second coming. Those who have, since the third angel's message was announced, those who were believers and passed away, they will arise to hear God's covenant of peace, his announcement of the day and the hour of the second coming of Christ. Other scriptures bring that out. "But thou, O Daniel, shut up the word and seal the book even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased." And then it says in verse 5, "Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two, the one on this side of the bank of the river and the other on the other side of the bank of the river. And one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall be the end of these wonders?" So in other words, all these bad things that are supposed to happen, and the scattering of the holy people, and this time of trouble, and all of these things. I mean, he's trying to get a bearing. And you have to understand that Daniel 12:1 comes right after Daniel 11. And so God is answering some questions to let us know, when is this time of the end? "Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood two others." I already read that. "And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand, and swear by him that liveth forever, that it should be for a time, times, and a half." So that means this power had to take place. Remember, we learned yesterday that Satan would raise up the Roman Catholic Church and would call a moral fall within Christianity, and that Jesus couldn't come until that power rose. And so that power rose, and then it fell. It fell in 1798. So the end time event cannot take place, could not have taken place until 1798. Okay? And so that's what God is trying to help us understand. So that's the second one, and it's called it time, time, and a half. That has to be the same as time, time, dividing of time, okay? Because if you divide it, you've divided it in half, okay? And unless you had several divisions, and it didn't say that. It just said divide the time. That would suggest that it's cut in half. So that's 360 plus 720 plus 180. Again, that's 1,260 days, all right? Now we go to the New Testament. We go all the way to the book of Revelation. All of these are in Daniel and Revelation. You go to Revelation chapter 11, Revelation chapter 11, and you look at verse 2. It says, but the court, which is without the temple, leave out and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles. And the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. God's people would be in persecution for 42 months. 42 with 30-day months, which was a biblical month, times 42. 30 times 42 is 1,260 days. You convert that to years, and you have the 1,260-year prophecy, okay? Verse 3, and I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,203 score days. 1,302 score days is the same as 1,260 days, okay? Clothed in sackcloth. The two witnesses, brothers and sisters, are the Old Testament and the New Testament, okay? These would stay alive, shielded by God's people, put in their hearts, sewn up in their clothing in the Waldensians. They became missionaries. All God's people were missionaries. You see, that's the way it's going to be again when persecution comes. God's people are playing games, playing football, playing basketball, watching all kind of crazy stuff on TV. But the faithful, brothers and sisters, won't be manifested until times of persecution. At that time, brothers and sisters, a lot of barriers will be broken down. We're not going to say, well, what camp are you in? Or what church did you grow up in? Or what pastor did you follow? When your life is at stake, you're just trying to find other people who you can worship with and believe the same. All right, 1,203 score days clothed in sackcloth and ashes. All right. I'm sorry, it just says clothed in sackcloth. So that's verse 3. So it called it again 1,203 score days, whereas in verse 2, that was 42 months. So we had Daniel 7:25, Daniel 12:7, I believe. Then we had Revelation 11:2 and 11:3. So now we move to Revelation chapter 12. Now we go to Revelation chapter 12 and verse 6. And the Bible says, and the woman fled into the wilderness. Now, woman is a church, according to Bible prophecy. That would indicate that how do we know that, I should say? And the answer to that is that in Jeremiah, get a little confused here. Let me go to the one in the New Testament first. It's Second Corinthians 11, 2 and 3. It says, I have espoused you to one husband that I might present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Jeremiah 6, 2 is in the Old Testament. It says, I have likened the daughter of Zion to a comely and delicate woman. So a woman represents a church in the Bible, because the daughter of Zion, according to Isaiah 51:16, Zion was God's people. He said, Zion is my people in the last part of that verse, Isaiah 51:16. So the daughter of Zion would be God's people throughout all the ages, because a daughter is a offspring, okay? So when you see a godly woman in the Bible in prophetic words, in prophecy, it represents God's church. When you see an evil woman, like a prostitute or a whore, that's practicing evil, that's a representation of a, I'm just checking something here. My battery. Okay, yeah, it's fine. That is a representation of an evil church, okay? So, and the woman fled into the wilderness. Wilderness is a place of obscurity, because she's there because of persecution, where she hath a place prepared of God that they should feed her there 1,203 score days. That's the period of persecution by the Roman Catholic Church of the Protestants, who were Bible believers, okay? And then in verse 7, I'm sorry. And then that was 12:7. And then I believe you go to 12:6, and then you go to 12:14. It says, and to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, where she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and a half from the face of the serpent. One was in Daniel, the other is in Revelation, long time period between the two. Friends, there is no possible way that these aren't linked. You have Daniel in Daniel 7:25 calling it a time dividing of time. You have Daniel in Daniel 12, verse 7, calling it time and a half. Then you've got Revelation 11, verse 2, calling it 42 months. And then verse 3, calling it 1,203 score days. Then you have Revelation chapter 12, verse 6, and it called it, I believe, 1,203 score days. And then that same chapter, verse 14, calls it time and a half. That's six times. And there's one final time, and that is in Revelation 13. And it says, as we begin the verse, the chapter, we're going to find it in verse 5. But it says in Revelation 13, and I stood upon the sand of the sea. The Bible tells us the waters where the whore sitteth are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues in Revelation 17:15. So this is a highly populated area. I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast. Daniel chapter 7 tells us a beast is a kingdom, okay? Because in verse, I think, 23, the fourth beast was the fourth kingdom that would arise. Rise out of the sea. So you're talking about a nation rising out of highly populated areas, having seven heads and ten horns. The seven heads and ten horns were found in Revelation 12, and it was found on that beast that it said tried to kill the man child as soon as he was born. When Jesus was born, it was Herod from the Roman Empire that tried to kill him. That's what Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John tell us, okay? And so we know that it's also the devil, because the Bible tells us plainly in Revelation 12:9 that the great dragon was Satan. So an entity can have a primary and a secondary meaning. So Satan is the dragon, but his agent was Rome that tried to kill the man-child. What man-child? The one who would rule all nations with a rod of iron, according to Revelation chapter 12 and chapter 12. That is Jesus Christ. He was caught up to God. He ascended back to the Father after his resurrection. All that's in Revelation 12. And so it says he stood on the sand of the sea, a highly populated area, saw a nation, a beast, rise out of the sea, the highly populated area, having seven heads and ten horns. It would be connected to Satan and pagan Rome, and up on his horns, ten crowns. So this tells us that because if you look at the dragon, it was crowned differently, okay? It had seven heads and ten horns, but upon the seven heads were the crowns in Revelation 12. Now upon the ten horns were the crowns. So it's Rome in a different way. You had pagan Rome, you have papal Rome, letting us know it's still part of Rome, but just in another way. Rome became Christianized, and the Roman Catholic Church began to rule the nations with these threats of hellfire. They didn't come and bow down and give large monies and sums to the papacy, okay? Papacy is just another word for the Roman Catholic Church. And upon his heads, the name of blasphemy. I've already told you. Blasphemy means you have power on earth to forgive sins. You claim to have that in Mark 2:7, and in John 10:33, it meant that you claim to be God on earth. That is what the Pope claims. Verse 2, and the beast which I saw was like a leopard. Well, in Daniel 7, you had a leopard, and it represented Greece. Greece was, its characteristics are education, false education. I've been over there to Greece. They still believe in all of those Greek mythologies and statements and whatever they got from their Greek philosophers. And so the bottom line is the Catholic Church, friends, believes in education. That's why they have a large number of parochial schools to educate you in a wrong way. His feet were as the feet of the bear. In Daniel 7, the bear represented Medo-Persia. It was raised up on one side because the Medes were stronger than the Persians. It had three ribs in his mouth because it conquered Babylon, Libya, and Egypt, okay? And so, but its characteristic was that it did not change because it claimed arrogance and infallibility. And so the Pope claims to be infallible, and therefore, even though he's not murdering people and ordering their murder, and he seems to be one that's bringing peace in earth. No, he does not change. God is trying to tell us he just lost the power to kill those who he claims to be heretics that follow the Bible, my friend. And so you have a feet of a bear, the mouth of a lion. The lion in the Bible in Daniel 7 was Babylon, okay? And Babylon, its characteristics were presented by Nebuchadnezzar, where he took the plain of Dura and made it his stage. And instead of instead of accepting God's statute of head of gold, breast and arms of silver, belly and thighs of brass, legs of iron, which represented Babylon, Medo-Persia, and Greece and Rome, he was basically, and then the feet of iron and clay, which would represent the Roman Catholic Church, because clay represents the church, and the state was Rome, which represented the iron. So you have feet of iron and clay, okay? There, instead of accepting that, that his kingdom wouldn't rule forever, he made a statue all of gold to defy God. And God saw some promise still in him and some hope in him. And so he said, okay, I'm going to show him my power. So he threw his Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the flames of fire, my brothers and sisters. And when they threw them into the flames of fire, God was there. Jesus was there with them walking in the fire. And so that was to help Nebuchadnezzar. But Nebuchadnezzar taught us that Babylon's characteristics is the combination of church and state. When the state combines with the church to make a religious law, that's what Rome believes in. Rome believes that the church can control the state. That's why God blessed America, because America rejected those back then, those papal policies. America has changed, brothers and sisters. It's in the Bible that says you shouldn't kill, whether it's a baby in the womb or anybody. It's in the Bible. That's a biblical injunction. But now the state says, oh, yeah, we can make a law that says you can do that, okay, and that it's not unlawful to do that, and you can't stop anybody from doing that, okay? So that's a combination of church and state. It hasn't reached its climax, but that's what it's doing. The Bible speaks against homosexuality, my friend. The Bible says a man shouldn't lie with another man. But they've made laws that seem to indicate that that's a violation of a person's civil right. That's a combination of church and state when you start making laws that interfere with the word of God. America's going down, brothers and sisters. But God says, I give you freedom. He said, if the Son therefore shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. And America had the freedom that the people would elect its new president. So a whole, almost an entire party is basically saying, no, we had the constitutional right to have an insurrection and prevent the peaceful transfer of power. And they will not condemn the ones who were primarily the ones responsible for that. America's going down, friends. This is the combination of church and state, the mouth of a lion, okay? That's Roman Catholicism, but America is in this same chapter, in the last part of the chapter. We can talk about that at another time. And then it says of this Roman Catholic Church, the dragon gave him his power, his seat, and great authority. That means Satan set up the Roman Catholic Church. It also means, brothers and sisters, that Roman Catholicism was set up by Rome. And you can study history, and you will find that the Emperor Justinian gave the scepter to the Pope in 1798, okay? I'm sorry, in 538, and he reigned for 1,260 years, this prophecy period that we're talking about that ended in 1798. And so as we move forward, I'm just showing you this is Roman Catholicism. And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death. That's when the Pope was taken captive by Napoleon's general Berthier. That's mentioned in Daniel chapter 11, where the king of the south pushed at him in the last part of Daniel chapter 11. And I'm going to tell you something, brothers and sisters. It says after that, the king of the north came down against him. And we're going to see that this has to do with Islam, brothers and sisters. And we're not going to spill all the beans, but the Bible tells us the role that Islam is going to play in the last days, my friend. And there will be many that escape out of Islam. And I can prove it to you from the word of God, friends. God says in Isaiah chapter 46, 9 and 10, it says, I am God. There is none else. I am God. There is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning. That's in Isaiah chapter 46, verse 9 and 10. declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done. And then I'm going to finish by reading the last part of it, 46, 9, and 10. It says, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, I will do all my pleasure. God is authenticated because all these Bible prophecies have come to pass, and they were prophesied thousands of years before they came to pass. That's how you can know that the Bible is authentic, brothers and sisters. It's not the white man's book. Please understand, those who know me, I have white friends, actually white relatives too, and we are not, this is not, when I say that, I'm speaking of a organization that recruited me. I didn't go where they asked me to go. I didn't join what they asked me to join, but they were trying to teach me that the Bible was the white man's book. It's not a white man's book, but it is a white man's book. It's a white man's book. It's a black man's book. It's an Asian man's book. It's a brown man's book. It's everybody's book, friend. Only the Bible can give you unerring accuracy these prophecies. We've been lied to. Yes, the slaves were lied to, and they were told that, you know, when the Bible says slaves obey your masters, that was an employer-employee relationship. It didn't give them a permission to beat you and rape you and all those kind of things. You should have escaped in the Bible. You would escape from that kind of tyranny. The word employee was not in the Bible. They were called the master. And the other, and please understand, brothers and sisters, the Bible was written in Hebrew, in Greek, and in Aramaic. And the translators hired by King James, when the word that could have easily been interpreted servant, they interpreted as slave. Now, sometimes it was like in Egypt, they were slaves, they were, you know, that type of thing. But in off times, there was the economy was such that you could pay off your debts by working, so on and so forth. And so it was a employer, employee, master, servant, not slave relationship. That's what the Bible allowed. The Bible did not allow, when I say it didn't allow, the Bible did not promote be able to beat people and separate families. As a matter of fact, you'll read the opposite in the Bible. If a man was working for somebody and he just said, okay, I just want to have some fun, and he took that man's daughter to be his wife, but he was working for the man. When his time of work was over and he would be free to go, if he wanted to leave, he could not take his wife with him. And what that did was that guaranteed that the reason why he would be getting her would be out of true love. You see, a lot of guys would have just gone, let me just have a little fun and let me just leave, you know. So it put a safeguard against that kind of activity. Now, if somebody came in married and had to work for somebody for so many years, when they left, their family left with them. That's in the Bible, friend. So this whole separation of families and adultery and rape and all this kind of stuff, that's not at all what the Bible, even though, yes, the masters let the slaves go and sit in the balcony and listen to that kind of preaching. Couldn't let them read, because they knew if they read and they became intelligent regarding things of truth, that they would know what their real place with God was. And so they didn't allow them to read. So I just want to mention that, because there's many people who have rejected Christianity because it's been told them that it was a book that was used for wrong purposes. And it was, but that's not God's purpose to use that book that way. And so I've dealt with many, had relatives in the Nation of Islam, and I'm somewhat familiar with the tactics. I'm somewhat familiar with what they say. And I'm telling you, it doesn't line up with Scripture. And when I share Scripture with them, they don't have an answer. That's not arrogance, brothers and sisters. I'm just trying to tell you that they haven't given me a good reason to stay away from the Bible, because the Bible predicts them. The Bible predicted the rise of Islam and its fall, okay? And I'm going to tell you, there is prophetic things happening in Daniel 11 over in the Middle East. And We will learn about that in another time. All right, so let's go back. So we just understand that we're going to wrap this up real quickly. We're in Revelation chapter 13, and the Bible says, and the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, Greek, feet of the bear, Medo-Persian, similarity, mouth of a lion, Babylon, similarity, and the dragon gave him his power, seat, and great authority, came from Rome, and the devil, verse 3, and I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. That was the fall of the papacy in 1798 when Napoleon's general took the Pope captive in 1798. This is all history. But when it was written in the Bible, it hadn't happened yet. Hundreds of years would take place before this happened. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And that means when you are following Catholic policies, you're actually worshiping Satan. Okay? And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast, who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemy. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. Friends, that's the 1260-day prophecy, 1260 years from 538 A.D. to 1798 A.D. I just gave them to you seven times. All of them refer to the power of Roman Catholicism when she was at her height persecuting God's people. God gave it to us seven times because he wants us to understand that this entity would play a major role in end-time events. May God bless us as we study because, friends, there is a solution in Jesus Christ. There is power in the name of Christ. And those who follow Christ and keep his laws by his power will be successful in the end, though there will be persecution. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this day. Bless us as we continue our study and our day. It's the preparation day, the day to prepare for the Sabbath. Help us, Lord, to get things done that we might welcome your holy Sabbath in. We ask for your name to bless us, Lord, with miraculous efficiency, with love, that we will get much accomplished, Lord, in helping each other in finishing your work. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, my brothers and sisters, we're going to go ahead and take a break and hear the torso song. We'll be back in a little while to hear from Sister Lenny at that time.
There's a one-of-a-kind place where healing is the feeling, north of the Mason-Dixon line. You might enter with diabetes and have it reversed by fasting and feasting on good food from the earth. In the state of Pennsylvania, there is help for your heart. Reverse hypertension with a brand new start. Need an answer to cancer? It may shock you to know God's healing plants are his natural chemo. Escape to the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must your abnormalities may be autoimmune. Butter, meat, eggs, and cheese line your greasy spoon. Get new freedom if you're bound to diseases the whole nine. Learn to eat from the ground north of the Mason-Dixon. Enslaved hampered. This is life at its best. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. So when you indulge and you run from the scale, the battle of the bulge will be your tattletale. When you look at the floor and you can't see your feet, just knock on our door. We will show you how to eat. Are you frying your brain with caffeine and pop? You can break every chain. Your addiction can stop. Smoking and drinking will give you a stroke. We will light up your life so you don't have to smoke. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. No disease at this time, but there's strife in your life. Ill treatment is a crime between husband and wife. If you need some advice, we will show you how you can get married twice by renewing your vow.
If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, for I am the Lord that healeth thee.
This song that you hear is better than new birth, because year after year, more ashes to ashes, more earth to Solomon said, why die before your time? If you think with your head, you're still in your prime. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might leave feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Yes, you must come and see. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Come and see.
Amen. Sister Lenny will bless us now with a health message entitled To Open Doors. Oh, I'm sorry. I have to open up her microphone. That is my fault. I apologize. Give me just a second. Uh, All right. You're with us, Sister Lenny.
Good morning. Happy, happy Friday.
Good morning.
To open doors. The right hand is used to open doors through which the body may find entrance. This is the part the medical missionary work is to act. It is to largely prepare the way for the reception of the truth for this time. A body without hands is useless. In giving honor to the body, honor must be given to the helping hands, which are agencies of such importance that without them, they can do nothing. Therefore, the body which treats indifferently the right hand, refuses its aid, is able to accomplish nothing. All through this country, a work must be done that has not yet been done. The medical missionary work must be recognized. Those who go forth to engage in the work of ministry must be intelligent upon the subject of health reform. Those men who, after many years' experience, have yet no appreciation of the medical missionary work should not be appointed to preside over our churches. They are not walking in the light of present truth for this time. Those who love the truth and appreciate the question of temperance in all its bearings should not be placed in the charge of a minister who has not heeded the light given, the light God has given upon health reform. What help can a man be to a church if he is not walking in the light? For 30 years, the necessity of health reform has been held before our people. By the practice of its simple principles, the sick and suffering are relieved, and fields otherwise unapproachable become most interesting fields of action. The seeds of truth, cast into good ground, produced an abundant harvest. You know, my last job was working in a hospital in physical therapy. I thought that was the most rewarding job I could have ever been in. Let me tell you, this journey that I am on now as a medical missionary has been the most rewarding and has opened many doors for me and others. Why? Because I now am working for the Lord and not for myself. Helping others is one of the best things I could ever do for God, because only what we do for God will last. Helping people with lifestyle changes, helping them to move from a flesh-eating diet to a plant-based diet, helping them plan their meals and not eat in between meals, helping them get out of abusive relationships that they don't have to be in. The amazing thing is, most of the time, these individuals have reached out to me, and I don't even know them. But I do know that Jesus Christ has sent them my way. He has opened those doors. So today, will you help to open a door? Open a door to someone's life, their heart, their needs. May God pour out many blessings over you today. This reading today is coming from Medical Ministry, page 238 to 239. Thank you so much, and may God bless you today.
Amen. You know, thank you, Sister Lenny. That was a blessing. You know, we just got a call from a family in Illinois that's Amish. We're talking about opening doors. Brothers and sisters, the Amish don't allow white people into their community, into their sacred circle, so to speak. And, you know, you get intimate with people in their lives, and when you start dealing with their illnesses and sicknesses and things of this nature. And God has blessed our ministry to have be a blessing to the Amish community. And it's because of what Sister Lenny shared. It's an open door. People are sick. A lot of people, my wife and I were talking about this yesterday, a lot of people have a misconception about the Amish because they're, you know, back to nature, so to speak. They assume that they're vegetarians and, you know, no. They eat everything in nature. They eat beef, pork. I mean, I've talked to them, and the women will be washing the dishes. And how did they get hot water? They had to go to the wood stove and They had something from the wood stove that was heating hot water, and that's how they brought it over to wash the dishes. They don't believe in electricity, see. And they have horses and buggies and stuff, and that's how they get around. And anyway, wife will be washing dishes, look out the window and see a squirrel in the tree, go grab the rifle, go, because they don't believe in shooting people in any form, even for self-defense, most of them, as far as I know. And then she'll grab that rifle, and she'll walk out onto the porch and shoot that squirrel. And when husband comes home, he's going to have squirrel whatever for dinner. And so, you know, they eat everything, brothers and sisters. And not all of them, and there are a few that have become plant-based, but for the most part, they eat a lot of animal products. They are blessed in that they exercise more, walk outside, do whatever they do in their bare feet, but that's picking up parasites too. So they have a lot of challenges, challenges with cleanliness sometimes. And so I just want to say that it's really true that you can open doors by the health message to share more truth with people. That being said, the phone lines are open. We've got about, let's see, what do we have? We've got about 8 minutes to the top of the hour, and we're glad to be with you, friends. We had to take a little break for about 3 days. From time to time, we will have to do that, and we try to let you know. Maybe we need to try to let you know earlier than just the day before so that you have time to prepare, because some people who missed that broadcast were wondering what happened. Press star 6 if you'd like to share with us. And on, as far as our roll call goes, we've got Brother Peyton out of North Carolina saying good morning to us all. We've got Sister Angela out of South Carolina. We've got Sister Vicky saying good morning to us all out of Georgia. We've got Sister Salida out of Virginia saying happy preparation day to everybody. We've got Sister Gloria saying good morning to us all out of Virginia. And Sister Tuesday saying good morning out of Virginia. So Virginia is well represented this morning. And we've got Thank God from the country of Greece. Praise God. And on the call, my brothers and sisters, we have Ohio. We have Ohio again. We have Alabama. We have Maryland. We have Delaware. Delaware is well aware this morning. And then we have New Jersey. We have Oklahoma. We have Iowa. We have Oklahoma again. We have Michigan, and we have Georgia. So thank you all for joining us today, and we look forward to continuing our worship times together. We will be on in the morning, and then we have our Sabbath service at 12 noon on tomorrow, where we're going through a series of physiology from the Bible. Anything anyone wants to share, just press star 6 at this time. All righty. God bless each and every one of you. We'll turn it over to my wife, Undreamed Of, to have our closing prayer at this time.
Father, we thank you for this day of preparation, giving us an opportunity to be able to be prepared for your holy Sabbath. We ask that you would bless everyone in a special way as we go about making sure all is done so we can be ready to welcome in the Sabbath. And we pray that you will help us to always serve you faithfully and to seek your face first and foremost. These things are prayed and asked in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. But he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution, and in the world to come, eternal life.
Therefore, if we do our part in faith, God would open ways before us now undreamed of. Happy Preparation Day. God bless you.
Yes, God bless you. And it is now our time for our closing song, I Will Trust in the Lord.
I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord till I die. I will worship. will